listening to the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to episode 10. Today, we are talking about good intentions, or just intentions of any variety, but preferably good ones. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the Lifted Life Podcast. We are releasing this show on Christmas Day. So cheers to family and togetherness, love, peace, and joy. So the year is wrapping up. We have less than a week now until the new year. And so we wanted to take some time to talk about resolutions, intentions, words of the year, and all that good stuff. We got anything planned as far as that goes, Tim Hall?
As far as a word of the year?
Or a resolution or an intention. Have you done any like end of the year work where you're looking at, like what worked and what didn't?
Honestly, no. I haven't really went back and looked at that. I know you've done a word of the year for a while now. I think I might do a word of the year this year.
But you don't know what it is yet?
No, I don't.
Okay, so it's right. He's right. I do love a good word of the year. To be honest, though, this past year, I didn't choose one. I think I just was having a hard time choosing. Typically in that scenario, my suggestion is to pick the word decide, because it can really come back to bite you if you can't make a decision. But this year, I actually am leaning towards creating a word for lifted and a word for myself. And so if you'd like, I can kind of talk a little bit about that while you chew on what the heck yours is going to be.
I just got my word, but...
Really?
Yeah, how do you
just
want to do it?
Just magically like that.
Well, I'm going to say it, and you're probably going to tell me I can't use that word.
Whatever!
Or you're going to what? Tell me why it's not a word, but...
Oh, I'm sure it's an amazing word, Tim. Share with everyone what it is.
Awareness.
Okay. That's and why do you choose that?
Because I think that's the best word I can choose to help me grow. I don't like using spiritually, but spiritually over the next year. I think the more aware I can be of myself, of my thoughts, of my decisions, and what I make things mean, I think that's the best way I can grow the most next year.
Cool. So I think it's interesting you use that word spiritually.
Whoa. You're not going to say I can't use that word.
Why would I say that? Okay. Quit putting on that I'm such a...
I'm not putting difficult. On. You're I'm just putting asking on. A question.
You're putting on.
All right.
So I think it's interesting you said, not that I want to use that word spiritual. Do you want to open your water there, Tim?
Well, don't want to hurt it until you said that.
Yeah, right. I think it's interesting that you said the word spiritual, but you didn't want to, but you did. And for it sounds like that's just the all-encompassing. Like what I typically physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Like those are the realms.
Because 6 months ago, maybe I would have said spiritual means Catholic, Methodist,
religious.
Atheist. I would say religious. And I've found recently that that's not what spiritual means. But I would assume that 80% of the population thinks spiritual means religious.
No, and not the Lifted Life population either, by the way. I think they understand there's a difference. Mm. We're not going to get into that difference right now. We can come back to it. But let's stay on the topic of this word of the year. Apparently, within the last 2 minutes, folks, Tim has decided on the word of the year. I think awareness is awesome because it kind of reminds me of, from the book The One Thing, I think it's Jay Papasan. I don't know how to say his name.
It's Papasan.
No,
you
come
said
on.
It wrong.
So anyway, the whole idea of The One Thing is, what is the one thing such that by doing would make everything else either easier or irrelevant or something along those lines? And so for you, it sounds like if you just can bring a next level awareness to your life, to your thoughts, to your emotions, it'll shift things for the better for you. So I think that's a cool kind of approach. I had mentioned doing two words, one for the business and one for myself. And I'm even shifting that up a little because the one for myself is actually a mantra, I've decided. So the business word that I'm focusing on for Lifted is visibility. Because right now we have these amazing products and this amazing brand that is supportive and encouraging and inspiring and doing all of this wonderful stuff. But we're only in front of a handful of people. And so, you know, I think we're really doing the world a disservice by not getting out there in a bigger way. So visibility is the focus for Lifted. And then for myself personally, the mantra is have faith. And I like that more than just, it's not one word, it's two, and it's not a word, it's a mantra. And so instead of just faith and what that means, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. But for me, the idea of have faith is a lot of this relinquishing of control, of like this grasping of trying to control certain outcomes. Because the more I learn about relief and releasing anxiety, the more I realize that so much of it is just this gripping that's very unhealthy and causes a lot of stress and anxiety. So if you're wondering the difference between stress and anxiety, go back to episode one where we talk about it.
Or anyway, maybe even a course you could take.
Possibly. The relief course is definitely something I created this year. It's all about switching to a new way of being. And there's a reason I teach these things. It's because it's what I need to hear again and again and again. I believe that's true for anyone. The things that teachers are teaching are the things that they either needed to learn or needed reminders of. So anyway, my mantra is have faith. For some people, that might mean just relax, kick back, and just let it happen. But for me, it really, I have enough of this kind of action taker personality that I feel like, you know, allowing in a little more of that ease and effortless flow of having faith is really healthy for me.
I think it's interesting that how each of our words are kind of to do the same thing. I think for me, like the group I'm in, they drop a challenge each week, and it's to help yourself grow and experience new things. And this last week was awareness, was the, I made it mean awareness. I guess it could have been anything, but it's about being aware of your senses and how you take the real world in, or I guess you could argue about the real world, but how you take in
the physical world,
your reality, how you take things in the physical world. Yeah, that's probably a good way. And then how you ascribe meanings to what you're bringing in through your senses. So that's why I chose awareness. But I think also you're talking about, you know, having faith, and then that way, you know, to help release anxiety and release things. But I think what I'm saying is, if you have awareness, then you don't have to ascribe the meanings to what you're bringing in, and it would also eliminate anxiety from the beginning.
Yeah, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think kind of looping back around to the idea of maybe you do. So the idea behind a word of the year is that you pick one word and it kind of guides you in all other areas. It's not that it's the only thing you focus on. It's just that when you give this your attention and you provide it with intention, then it helps you, you know, instead of just picking a resolution or a goal, it helps with all the resolutions and goals that you decide to create. And I will say, I'm not a huge fan of resolutions, but I do love goal setting. And I believe in the power of writing down your goals and getting clear on what you really want to create. So that is why we titled the show Good Intentions, because it's a fun, snazzy title. And also it really kind of focuses in on the most important aspect of goal setting, resolutions, words of the year. It's all about your intention to create something new. And I think that that's the really exciting part of the new year, is the fresh start. And I don't think you have to wait for a new year for a fresh start, but it is an amazing time to start fresh. So if you're looking to create some sort of change, and there's certain personalities I think that really love, like, okay, January 1, here we go. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, now more than ever, it's a great time to set an intention. You don't have to pick a word of the year, but you can. You don't have to list out 10 goals that you want to create, but you can. It's more about your intention behind it and what you're looking to improve or to evolve or to grow.
Would you say it's like a compass, or it's a direction to go in? Not necessarily it's where you're going to end, but it's...
Yeah.
A place to go.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to remember that the brain is like a problem solving machine. And so if you give it an intention, then you're literally giving that machine direction and giving it something to focus on. That's why people are so big about gratitude, because when you are looking for reasons to appreciate, then you are shifting your energy up rather than complaining or looking for what's wrong. Because like I said, the brain's a problem finding and solving machine. So it's looking for what's wrong. But if you give it the task of, I need you to find reasons to have faith, or I need you to find reasons to appreciate, or your job is awareness, I'll make the meaning. Like that to me is just this huge shift away from reactivity, being someone who just reacts to what the world hands them. It puts you back in the driver's seat rather than a victim of circumstance.
Yeah, I think it's funny as you're explaining that, you know, there's, to me, there's so much power in that awareness of, it gives you the power back to make the meaning whatever you want. And it sounds great and it's simple, but it's also very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea is simple. The actions are, well, the actions I think can be hard. I think it's easy to fall back into.
I think it's because we have these emotional triggers. So once your body creates an emotional response from something, it becomes habitual. So mm-hmm. if there's someone at work that triggers you, or if there's an incident with your child that triggers you, or whatever it is, there's an emotional response that happens when you think that thought. And so your body knows it and memorizes it. So we're both currently reading Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest, I'm kind of, this totally freaks my husband out, but I don't read books in order. I just like to flip through them and just read. And sometimes I'll read backwards. So I'll read a page, like the paragraph on the bottom before I read the top. And I just love to do that. It just really...
In full disclosure, I just started reading it and I'm in the beginning and he's explaining how you need to read it in order because it builds up and that way the end will make more sense. But so, you do you and all.
I know, right?
I'll do what
so he
says.
So I'm going to share something from the end. So don't freak out.
It's like the movie. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's not really like a spoiler. It's a little bit.
Wait a minute. Does he break the habit of being himself?
I think so.
Okay.
So this is really... So the whole reason I'm sharing this is because as we share that... we create emotional responses that are almost programmed in our subconscious. Some of it from childhood, some of it from just practicing, and some of it from just the habits that we create. One thing he says is if you find yourself slipping into a habit of reacting to something that you know you don't want to react to, you're trying to bring that awareness to it. You're trying to change, but it's just so hard. His tip or trick is to literally out loud say, change. I know that sounds crazy, but it actually, every time you start to, yeah, but this could be change. But this person is making change.
Jesse says, stop it.
Yeah. So it's like this really powerful tool. And I know it sounds silly, but I swear it works. I've been using it. Anytime I start to get into a pattern of worry or anxious thinking or frustration with things that, you know, you could say, quote unquote, trigger you, you realize and you recognize this is not who I want to be. Change. Or step it, whichever one, you know, resonates more with you. But the whole idea is to literally break that habit of being yourself, to break that pattern of reactivity.
What's so funny, I'm sure we're getting off topic, but whatever. But what's so funny is that is so easy to do. And so many people, myself included, discern that because it's got to be harder. There's got to be a harder way that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really that easy.
Mel Robbins is the author of The 5-Second Rule, and hers is basically 5-4-3-2-1. And it's the same idea. Like, you shift the pattern away from the thought and you count backwards. And literally when you get to one, it's blast off and you change. And they're all saying the same thing. That's what I think is really cool. It's all about breaking that reactivity pattern. It's like this emotionally charged, subconsciously written program of belief that you've somehow settled into. It's a way of being. And once you recognize it as simply programming that's not useful, you can literally implement this one quick trick of change, stop it, 5-4-3-2-1, here we go. So to me, the whole reason we're talking about this is because you brought up awareness as your word. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, my mantra of have faith. And that kind of, you know, it's all about relaxing the nervous system too, as far as not allowing that emotional pattern to drive you. And I think it's important to note that no matter how much inner peace or chillness you seem to have, we all have these patterns that we could evolve or grow from. And so, excuse me, as the new year comes, maybe you set an intention to change a certain area and you can use this tool in that area in the way that it's most useful for you. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
So let's say someone wants to create some resolutions too, or goals. What are your thoughts on goal setting? Are you going to write out a list of things you want to create or achieve for the new year, or what's your plan?
So my plan for next year is that it's a little crazy, but I think that if I can get control of this awareness and I can control my thoughts and I can be happy and feel good as much as possible, I think any goal I could ever set, I'll achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So in a roundabout way, I'm not going to set a goal.
Okay. So yours is an inside game.
But I realize I just said this and it's recorded and now I'm going to be held accountable, but I'm okay with that.
Well, I think it's important. Like what you're saying is basically all of the outside goals are fun and dandy, and you know, there's income goals for Lifted. There's things that, you know, within our personal life that we're wanting to create and achieve. But it sounds like what you're saying is those are all secondary to the primary goal. And the primary goal is to elevate your awareness, to feel good, so and to be present.
I recently heard this said that pick a goal. Pick whatever you need, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to achieve. And the underlying, the root of it, all the way down to the very bottom, is because you believe that you'll feel better. It'll mm-hmm. make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. Everyone, at the end of the day, that's what you
want
to feel.
But I just want my yard to be pretty, because you'll feel better.
Exactly.
But I just want to fit into my old size 8 jeans, because you think you'll feel better.
The best one I heard was just recently was myself. I'm not a very tall male. But what if I wanted to be in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
What if I wanted to, at 38 years old, I want to join the NBA.
Show Muggsy Bogues what's up.
No, I want to show LeBron how to play basketball. Okay. Probably couldn't do that. But the reason I want to do that is because I want to feel better. I want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm really after. Like if I were be able to play in the NBA, these are...
And why do you want more awareness?
Why do I want more?
Because you want to feel good.
Yeah.
And why do I want to have faith? Because I want to just feel good and I want to relax and enjoy my life and be a good mom and show up in the powerful way.
Now I'm pretty sure you're going to break the mold. I think you want something else.
No.
Because I think everybody wants to feel good. Yeah.
Even whenever we're like, no, I just want my children to be happy and healthy and independent, because it'll make you feel good.
Yeah.
Like that's how we're wired though. We're humans and we may love our children or our spouse or whoever so much, but it's irrelevant because we still are wired as humans to want to feel good.
Well, and I think someone would say that's selfish, but, and I think somewhere in our society, somehow, how we get off on these tangents, but somehow we're told that that's not okay. Like you don't, that you should think of others first. And I don't know. I think you got to take care of yourself first, then you can help others.
Right. And I think that this has become more and more common, especially in the self-help realm of self-care and taking care of yourself and putting your oxygen mask on first, and you can't pour from an empty cup. And, you know, you hear it all the time, but really it's because it's true. And it's starting to become this, like, this given. And I think that the more we talk about it, yeah, it can kind of sometimes sound cliche, but it's actually just really the first most important step towards growth and service. Because I do think that we want to feel good, but we're wired to feel good from helping others. So see, that's the beautiful blessing in it all. It's like
double whammy.
Yeah. So we're wired to serve. We're wired to take our God-given gifts and to literally go out into the world and serve. But when we do it, we feel good. And so then we want to do it more. And it's like a dopamine hit of creative responsibility to like show up in the world in a big way. So to me, it's like really freaking cool how it all works out, that we're wired to feel good. But what feels good? Growing, serving, loving, you know, like, wow. To me, that's just the coolest thing. And some people say, well, then maybe it's not free will after all, and I just don't buy into it. I buy into the fact that we do want to feel good, but the things that truly feel good are love and connection and service and creativity.
Yeah, and I've also heard it explained, you're talking about free will, that we're free to do whatever we want. We're free to suffer. We're free to choose to not feel good. Mm-hmm. Even though that's what, at the underlying what we want, we have the choice to feel however.
Mm-hmm. And we're meaning-making machines, and so we get to, you know, put in as much effort to feel good or as to suffer. So, like, either way, you're going to be telling a story. And I feel like that, you, as you share awareness, the thing that always comes to mind for me is the awareness of the story we're telling. So, for me, that heightened sense of awareness is all about what is the story I'm telling in this exact moment, because 100% of the time, it will explain to me why I feel the way I do. Like, that's some next level stuff, I think. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking I probably shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share it anyway.
Oh, help us all.
So I've been practicing awareness for a couple of days, and I can't remember the exact trigger. But we were arguing about we don't normally argue
ever,
but
not right before we do a podcast either.
I can't remember what you said that was so ridiculous that it just totally pissed me off. I'm sure you're out of line, but I was sitting here and I'm like, man, I'm so pissed off that she said that, and this makes me so mad. And I thought, wait, stop it. You can change this. You don't have to be mad. You chose to be mad. You don't have to be mad. But I'm like, but this is ridiculous. I am so mad. You can't just throw that away. You can't just let that go.
Ego, right?
Like, you would be doing yourself a disservice by allowing something like that made you so mad just to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but I don't want to be mad. Mm-hmm. And I just let it go away. And it went away. But there was that part of me that was like,
I'm right, she's wrong, and I need to prove it, kind of like?
No. Like, then it was like my ego saying that if you let this go, you're like, man, how to explain that? Like,
oh, I've been there and done this with you 100 times, so don't worry.
But it's like, it made you so mad. It was so important to you. If you let that go, you're such a pushover. Like, to let that go.
Right.
Like, it's like this fight I have with myself, but it's like, but I don't want to be mad. Like, there's no reason to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not helping anyone.
Right.
I don't know. It's bizarre.
But that's that's the awareness, right? That's the level of, like, I love the saying, do you want to be right or do you want to be free? And I'm sure that what he's talking about and our arguments are typically very simple things. Like, I tried to throw the egg away and you were in the way because our kitchen's kind of small. And then you gave me a dirty look. And can you believe you would give me a dirty look like that? And then what we make that mean. So these are typically, or like changing a song on the radio that the other person likes. These are top.
No, you ruined my perfect clothes or something. No, I'm just kidding. I was trying to think something really bad that you did. You're trying to make it sound like it was something simple, like, but it probably was.
But even if, let's just say I ruined your perfect clothes, you might be talking about the context of laundry, which means that sometimes I do your laundry. So that's an act of love, just so you know, that I choose to do. And, you know, other people choose things. So anyway, deep breath. What I'm trying to say is this level of awareness that says, do I want to be right or do I want to be free, is the magic. Because in that moment, you have to decide, if I want to be right, I have to keep on arguing. I have to stay mad. I have to prove my point. I need to prove that I was right and you were wrong. These are all egoic, shallow, not true self perspectives versus, do I want to be free? Okay, I know that this is not something that's going to make or break on my relationship. This was about, you know, a dirty look in an eggshell or something of that nature. So that awareness of, is this worth my peace? If it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. If you want to be right or you want to be free, you choose. I mean, these are all zingers, people. You need to write this down. Do you want to be right or do you want to be free?
I understand what you're saying. And I think for me, it's not being right. It's like, I get it is about.
It is about.
No, it is, but it's like validating myself, like, as
right,
a person.
That,
like,
you were right to feel that way.
Right. And
not that you were like.
And if I'm willing to give it up so easily, then I'm.
That's the ego.
I'm invalidating myself. No. Like, what kind of person are you that can't stand for something?
Right. But that's the ego dying a slow death.
I agree. But this is like ridiculous, like how. But deep that is, but I mean, that's awareness.
That's the awareness of it. Everyone does this. It's only when we have the awareness to, like, shine a light on it that
over
we can.
Over eggshells.
Over probably an eggshell and a dirty look. I get upset about dirty looks, and then he'll be like, you give me dirty looks. And then, like, we get to talk about, like, but this is all just, like, living with someone and raising children with someone, making difficult decisions about children, schools, all these things that require, there's, like, heightened stress and the stakes feel high, and then all of a sudden little things can, you know, make you frustrated. And I think so much of, you know, the frustrations within our relationship, it's not just about communication, but awareness of these patterns and what we make things mean, and that programming that we have that literally just runs like a loop that, well, they don't really care about me, or they don't really respect me, or they don't really love me. And then how we show up when we have that pattern running versus being like, nope, stop it. This isn't useful. Or change. For some reason, I like change. I don't usually say it out loud, but every once in a while I have, like, when the pattern just starts going, it's like, it makes you look a little kook, but that's okay. I think it's worth it to experience that. So, yeah, this has been a unique episode, right? It's some tangents.
I just envision you yelling change, walked into Aldi, and everyone's like, oh, she must need a quarter for her cart.
Change. Oh my gosh. A unique episode titled Good Intentions. We're talking about setting a strong intention for what you want to create. To me, the new year is a magical time to start fresh. Okay, so here's a little backstory. I used to get so sad when I would take my Christmas tree down because I love decorating for Christmas. I love all the traditions with Christmas. I love it all. And so then when I would take it down, I would be really sad. And then I created a new story. I created a new belief that said Christmas is amazing, but as soon as Christmas is over, like literally December 26th, the tree goes down and I clean up everything and I get back to this spacious, open, fresh start. And I donate things and I purge things and I clear out cabinets. And it's almost like its own holiday as I get ready to transition from, you know, the end of December to that first of the new year. And so I just love this story because to me, it's all about the power of our storytelling, awareness that I was feeling a certain way and I didn't want to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to feel sad. I'm not encouraging like run away from your feelings, just create a new holiday. It's not about that. It's about, is it useful for me to, you know, to just be in this mopey in between, I don't even know who I am between December 26th and January 1st.
Well, what is it? I think it's Abraham that talks about resistance. And when you have a feeling, you can resist it or you can feel it.
Allow it.
Yeah. And the resistance just makes it bigger.
Right. And I don't think, so then I agree there's resistance and there's allowing. And then there's also like avoidance. And I would say that some people might say, well, if you're just creating a new holiday, you're avoiding it. But instead, I know that my mind is just a storytelling machine and I can either give it a new story or I can dwell in old stories. So the new story I created is that after Christmas, I create space and I create, this feeling of newness in the house. And I love that. And so for me, this is like the massive power of storytelling because I've made it mean that when Christmas is over, it's time for a fresh new start. And that is my intention each year is to start fresh and to take a little time to look at what worked for 2018 and what didn't work and what I want to take with me moving forward. And that intention has served me really well.
Yeah. I think when you're talking about creation, we're creating machines. And I used to always think about like creation means like you have to get a piece of paper and draw something and color it in. And yeah, that is a creation, but we create everything. And you might as well create something good. And I mean, if you don't create something good, you're going to create something that you don't like.
Well, stories we tell is that's the prime canvas of creativity is creative living. Telling a story that's useful and empowering and inspiring.
Yeah. And that's the example you gave that you used to be down after Christmas because it was over and then you created something new that you like so you don't have to have something that you don't like.
Right. And I think that it's the idea that you're sharing. I don't think we've done an episode on creativity yet, have we? But that's mm-hmm. like on the list of things to talk about because I love this unique look at creativity. I think so many of us have this old school creativity is drawing, painting, throwing a pot. Yeah. It's like, no, every moment you are the creator of your life. Every moment you're telling story.
That's what humans are doing. We create stuff.
Yeah, we create a life. We create a home. Yeah, we create relationships. Yeah. Like even last night, it was cold and we were snuggling and I just felt so creative to use my energy to just bask in the appreciation of having someone to spoon me while it was cold. And it was just like, I felt so happy because I was putting all of my creative energy into the gratitude I had for having a partner on a cold winter night. And like, that's creative living. Like waking up and seeing a new day as a chance to start fresh. That's creative living. Creative living means using this meaning-making machine to literally manifest and create whatever it is we want. And I know that that was a bit of a tangent, but I want to create a whole episode on creativity because for me, that's what A Lifted Life is really all about, using your personal creativity to live in a elevated manner. Merry Christmas, y'all. Thanks for listening. Hope you had a great holiday season. Hopefully you have spent a little time now thinking about your word of the year, of your intention for the year, with that awareness that feeling good is at the core. That's okay. You're human and that's why, but still, what would you like to put your attention towards this year?
What would you say for people that want to share their word? Would you like them to get on Facebook group and share it?
Or... Yes, I would love for them to join us in the Lifted Life Facebook group. And maybe we'll even create a thread that we can pin to the top and we can say, share your word of the year here. Is that, am I saying that right? Word of the year here. Whew, that was tricky.
Write that out, but I think so.
Yeah, so let's share that in the Lifted Life Facebook group. It's a free group where we provide support and encouragement. And of course, if you're going through the Relief course about a new way of being, then there's also support for that in there. And if you have questions about our products, as you probably know by now, we have two probiotics on the market currently exclusively on Amazon. But if you have questions about how to take those, how to start a probiotic, why you should take one, the Lifted Life Facebook group is also another great place for that. Thanks for that mention, Tim. Way to think like a marketer.
No problem.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.